Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1. I have a friend who's an electrician. And his wife was always questioning his love for her mother. So he was always a little extravagant in the gifts that he would buy for his mother-in-law. For example, first he bought her an electric toothbrush. And then it was an electric blanket. Last year for Christmas, he bought her an electric carving knife. Little does his wife realize that he's building up to buy his mother-in-law a chair. Power can be a wonderful thing if it's used for the right purpose. Over the past several weeks, we've been talking about what can we expect when we surrender our life over to the Lord. And a few weeks ago, we talked out of the book of Joel, where he promised dreams and visions and many other spiritual experiences to people in the last days who have surrendered their lives to God. This morning, we're going to discover the purpose for all of that spiritual power. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Father, we bow before you this morning. I think every one of us plays these games and fights these battles with you. You say something and we doubt it. You make something very personal to us and we push back. We say, "Well, no, that's not me, that's not my gift, that's not this, that's not that." Would you please give us a spirit this morning that yields to you? Just is willing to believe what you say and allow it to be put into practice into our lives. We do pray for that fresh anointing today. Clean out our ears and our hearts, and help us to do as you're calling us to do. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So here's where we're at in this text. On our timeline, Jesus has died on the cross. He's been resurrected from the dead. He's been spending 40 days with the disciples before his ascension. He's near that point of ascension. In fact, this is his last day with the disciples. And during one of these meetings, they ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They keep thinking earthly kingdom. They keep thinking ruling and reigning like David and Solomon did, that the Lord, the Messiah, was going to be king over all the earth and going to raise Israel up to the status of empire, and they would rule and reign with the Messiah over everything that was happening. And so the Lord has been telling him his plan all along. And you can read there in Scripture the side notes that say, but they didn't understand what he was saying, or they were afraid to ask him about it, or it was hidden from them for now. And they're still thinking that they're going to be riding around in golden chariots, and they're going to be large and in charge. Lord, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom? And when they asked the question, it was the Roman Empire that was large and in charge. And she was one great, strong empire. She ruled. She ruled by strength. She ruled by might. She ruled by terror. She ruled everything. But these guys thought, you know, a Messiah that is raised from the dead, who has command of all of nature, can call storms or stop them, can do all this, can walk on water. That would be the kind of guy that could help us to overcome any kind of an obstacle and bring us back to our prominence. So when the disciples thought kingdom, they thought thrones, revenue, status, wealth, ease. And indeed, when Jesus comes back, he'll do all of that and more for his people. But until then, there will be wars and rumors of war. Believers will be persecuted, and life's going to be hard. The disciples thought that the power from God would equip them to rule and reign. It's going to get easier now. It's going to be better in this life. But he told the disciples, don't concern yourself with times and dates and when the kingdom's going to get here, the kingdom's going to get here. But what the power of God is all about is so that you will be my witnesses. And I wonder if that comment hit them odd, because they'd already been his witnesses. They had been doing a work in his name. They had been all over Israel, and they had preached the gospel. Now, to be sure, the Holy Spirit comes along with a lot of benefits. When you receive the Spirit into your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, and self-control all begin to work more powerfully in your system. You will have a more intimate fellowship with the Lord himself. The Spirit will correct and teach us the ways of Christ. You'll have his conviction to guide you through those difficult moments. Just yesterday, I had two places that I kind of wanted and needed to be, and just spent some time with the Lord. Father, which direction am I supposed to go? And he's so sweet in his conviction in showing us what to do. There will be deeper times of worship as he leads you by his Holy Spirit. But Jesus said that the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is so that we would be his witnesses. You will be his witness. I know we do a lot of classroom stuff and we teach a lot about, what would you say if you wanted to introduce somebody to the Lord? And we practice and we rehearse, we memorize some scriptures and we go over our lines and we want to be ready for whenever somebody is open. And that's all good stuff. But if we were really intelligent, we'd go back to the scripture and say, Lord, I know it comes from you. And you're the one that I really need. I need that power of the Holy Spirit working in me so that I have those right words at the right time. And I'm led by your Holy Spirit. Friday, I was on my way to Gettysburg Hospital to visit Anna Schaefer. And it was pretty hot on Friday. I had the windows. I'm kind of a country boy. I like the fresh air, but it was getting pretty hot. So I thought, I think it's time for some air. So I turned the air on and rolled the windows up. Whew, it's just getting hotter in there. I'm looking, I'm thinking, I got all my buttons pushed right, you know, but it's just warm. And I thought, last time the air didn't work, I was running low on antifreeze. So I looked at my gauge and I'm in the red. So I pull off the side of the road, and I thought, well, I'll just let her cool down a little bit. Looked in the reservoir. I got plenty of fluid. Okay, it's not fluid. Let her cool down a while. Figured, you know, I'll cool it down, drive as far as I can, let her cool down, you know. Well, I found out I was only getting about a half mile in between my let her cool down first. So time to call for that tow truck. Give it a call. I found a place in New Oxford ready to come pick me. I says, hey, do you have AAA or anything? I said, well, State Farm, I've got roadside assistance. He said, well, you better call them first. If you call them first, it won't cost you anything. Well, great. So I said, thank you very much. Called State Farm. They were right on it. They found somebody in Taneytown, Maryland to come and pick me up in New Oxford to take me to Hanover. And so first ETA comes by, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They said, they'll be there at 4. 4 o'clock. It's 90 couple degrees out here. So, all right. Thank God I had a book in the back, so I'm reading my book and, you know, looking at my watch. Ah, hallelujah. It's 5 to 4. They'll be here any minute now. Got another text. New ETA, 4:25. So, guy finally pulls up. He says, I hope there's a gas station somewhere near here because I'm on the post. And I said, well, about 5 miles away. He said, we should have enough. And that guy worried and stressed over it. All that just to say, I wasn't in a real good mood for witnessing. But we're in this truck, you know. And it felt like the Lord is saying to me, okay, you're in a truck all alone with this guy. Shouldn't you say something to him? Don't want to. I called and I told the insurance company already what I thought about the service till it got here. I probably wouldn't be the best guy to say something to him now, Lord. And I said, okay. But Lord, I have no idea what in the world to say to this guy. I don't know how to start. I didn't want to, no cliches, you know, just wasn't going to work. And we're going along. He says, yeah, pretty tough day. I says, how's that? He says, well, I just called my girlfriend. She's my ex-wife. We've been living together. He said, I told her it was over today. I said, okay, Lord. So then that, you know, opened up the conversation, and we went on from there. So I'm 60 years old, and I'm just starting to learn. If we'll lean on him, he'll make a way. He'll open the doors. He'll help us with all of this stuff. And that's what it's all about. I know we try, we fail, we stumble, we this, we that. We just keep thinking about us. But if we would remember that, oh, there's power for that. Like we talked a couple weeks ago, there's an app for that. The Lord will help us in all of this stuff. You right now, you really are his witness. And he's able to use you. And the first confession is, I don't know what I'd say. Good. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. But when we lose our passion for reaching the lost, we can count on a reduction of the Spirit's activity within individuals and churches. You know, we seek the power of the Holy Spirit. We seek intimate communion with God. We seek to get closer. And then after a while, we wonder, why is it cooled off? I used to be so passionate about the things of the Lord, and lately I just haven't felt his movement and so on. And I think sometimes the answer is our hearts and minds are not focused like his is on lost people. And if we would get a hunger and thirst to see other people won to Christ, I believe we would see a ramping up of that same emotion, of that same drive that we once had when we were young in the Lord. Catch this scenario. Small group of people meet together for prayer. They start doing a little bit of Bible study. A new church has been born. They have very poor facilities. There's not many of them. They have no accompaniment, so they try to sing. But they're courageous, and they feel led of God. So they're active in their evangelism, and they're inviting other people. And so little by little, the Lord blesses their efforts. They don't have all the bells and whistles that a lot of the organized churches do, but they've got the right heart. So in a little while, they've got enough people, they've got to look for a facility in which to meet, a larger place to go, and little by little they become better organized, and they find an instrumentalist, maybe a guy that plays the accordion, or maybe the harmonica, or both at the same time, with cymbals between his knees. And then they add another instrumentalist and another until they've got a little bit of a worship team that's gathered together, and the small group has begun to grow a little bit bigger, and they're strong enough that they can get themselves alone, and so they build themselves the real building. And then they've got the facilities, and they grow to the place where they can hire some staff, and they've got more going for them, and they're better organized, and they're up there more than they'd ever been before. They've got a worship team. They've got a kids' church. They've got Sunday school classes. They've got Royal Rangers and Girls Club. And it looks like they're so good to go. But they get to a place where some of the members wonder, you remember the good old days when we used to get together and it was so passionate and it was so deep and so rich. And now when we get together, we're so worried about this and we're so concerned about that. And sometimes our heart, our spiritual activity can be replaced by programs or that good old busyness. We're about the work. We're about the work. I think the main function of all of us, the main job for all of us, is to keep getting back to why are we here? Where's our heart supposed to be? Remember, it wasn't too long ago we preached through Malachi, and you remember the Lord said to the people, I wish that somebody would go and lock the doors to the temple. I wish you wouldn't even offer any more sacrifice. I wish there weren't any more services. God prefers the genuine to the scripted, to the ritual. And our challenge always, my challenge as a pastor, my challenge as a Christian, my challenge as a believer, my challenge every time I have daily devotions and I go to Him all alone, nobody else is listening, nobody else can see, my challenge every time is to be real with God. And not just, okay, what did I pray yesterday or what seems to work well, what keeps my attention here, but it's to melt it down and melt it down. Sometimes my whole hour spent with God is just getting to that place where, aha, God has been there the whole time, but when is Joel going to finally show up? And sometimes when we get together for church, God has been here waiting and He's been anxious. But when are we going to show up ourselves? When is our mind finally going to be able to shut out what's going on at work, in the neighborhood, with the car? When are we finally going to show up once again? And I know you long for it like I do. You long for it like God does. Oh, God, to have church. Like I used to come to church. When my heart would burn within me and the words, they were just fired, just hitting me right between the eyes, stepping on every one of my toes. God, I'm willing to give up position. I'm willing to give up all of the accruements. But I want you more and more and more of you. Verses 4 and 5. On one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Think for a minute just how well prepared these disciples were. They'd spent 3 years with Jesus. They ate with Him, slept under the same roof or set of stars each night, witnessed every move He made. They listened to Him pray. They saw Him minister to people. They saw what He did in so many different situations. Finally, Jesus started sending them out by twos to do what He had been doing. He gave them power and authority to cast demons out and to heal the sick and to minister to every situation. They'd been preaching for months, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. So Jesus is ready to ascend. These guys are pretty well prepared. All He really has to say is, guys, what you've been doing already, go do it. I'll be with you. Just do what you were trained to do. But that's not what He told them. He said, don't leave Jerusalem. You got your book learning. You've had some practical experience. But there's something that if you don't have it, all that you already have is going to grow cold and die. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Hardest thing God ever asked a person to do. Wait. You wait. Don't get excited. Don't let your mind wonder, well, Lord, if we wait too long, they'll do this and they'll that. We'll miss this opportunity and so on and so forth. Here's your word for this morning. Somebody asked you, what was the sermon about? Wait. Wait. But don't just wait. Wait for the gift the Father promised. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You and I are challenged to choose. What are we going to lean on? Our classroom and practical experience or the anointing of the Holy Spirit? The classroom stuff is valuable. God has been showing me recently in my private devotions how important study is. Knowledge is extremely valuable when you are following the Lord. We need to ask for wisdom. We need to ask for knowledge. We need to learn from everybody that we can come in contact with. All of that helps to grow and strengthen us. But it's nothing without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you and I have to understand that. We have to long for and thirst after the moving of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God in our own lives. I can learn how to preach, or I can lean into God. Well, what's your word? What's your word? This, I don't know how many of you will ever become preachers, but it's a fascinating life. It really is. And it's odd the different ways that God speaks and the way he leads us as a body. And if you only really knew how disorganized I am as a person, you would give God great glory that anything makes sense that comes out of this comes out of this pulpit. But he's faithful. There's times when I'm sitting at my computer and I'm thinking, I have no idea where this is going. And I just feel the Holy Spirit say to me, just type. Just type. I just get one word, the beginning of a sentence. And I know I've been doing this for 30 couple years, 38, 40 years. I think 40 years now. And I still hesitate. And sometimes I argue, well, Lord, that doesn't look like that's going where it should go. And I can hear him in his own sweet, gentle way, shut up and write. You know? But I see it in sermon. You also witness that in your life when you're looking for direction. We would love to have the directions all spelled out, where we're going and what's going to happen because of it and everything else. And a lot of times the Lord just says, would you just shut up and take that next step? Would you please just shut up and trust me? But Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. And if we do this, I'm afraid that, you know. Shut up and take the next step. I'm also amazed at how long it takes the Lord to do some things. You know, he could speak and worlds were formed. Let there be light. Boom, boom. Let there be a sun and moon and stars. Like popcorn. Let's make a giraffe. Cool. Just speak it and there it is. And sometimes the things that God is doing in me and through me, he chooses to take a lifetime. And some of the things that he's doing in me won't be finished till after I'm dead. He is in no hurry. He said, guys, you got all the knowledge. You've had enough experience. I've schooled you well. And yet you have nothing until you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you put your faith and your trust in the lead of God. And one thing we need as a body, we need as individuals, because it happens to all of us. We get too big for our britches. We think we know what we're doing. Let me be the first to tell you, you have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. The phone could ring tonight, 2:00 in the morning, and everything changed. I am continually amazed at how well scripted I am. I've told you often, I love a good rut. I can tell you what I plan to do tomorrow, what I plan to do on Tuesday. So I've got my week pretty well scripted out, and it never goes according to plan. But that's by design, by his design. He doesn't want us trusting in our calendar, trusting in our experience. He wants us trusting in him, and if we do that, he will add to us a spiritual dimension. He will teach us how to fly rather than just run. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Can you hear that echo in your spirit this morning. The Lord would say to you, quit being in such a hurry. Set some time aside and just wait on me for a while. Tell God you want that gift. Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the years of Sunday school. And thank you for the sermons. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the devotions we've had. But if there's anything more that you have for me, and I know there's always something more, I want that gift. I want that gift. Maybe you're not enamored with dreams and visions and prophecies. Maybe it even freaks you out a little bit. That's all right. Could you get into being part of seeing other people one to Christ? Are there some loved ones you have that don't know the Lord right now and you just love? I've kind of got a neat thing going on. The Lord's been showing me here. He's released his hounds from heaven after a few people that I've been praying for. And it's kind of neat watching them because they don't want to be hounded. They don't want to yield to the Lord. They've got their excuses. They've got their reasons. But I can just see God, he's after them. They don't stand a chance. The Holy Spirit is after them. And he is breaking down their excuses. He is breaking down their walls. And if you love that kind of stuff, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need that anointing. I need that miraculous working in and through me. We do not seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit so we can speak in tongues or get more excited in worship or see more miracles. We seek this baptism to be his witnesses, his effective witnesses. So it's almost good that you might have an aversion to the things of the Spirit. I don't want to speak in other tongues. I don't want to put on a display of some kind. Good. But do you want to see lost people come to Jesus? Then that's what this is all about. Let God take care of how he does it and the timing of it all. There's simply no downside to seeking the Lord. As it says in verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Getting baptized in water is good. I hope you've had that experience. I hope it was meaningful to you. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit empowers you for service. God, I want some of that. Lord, I want all of that. Maybe some of you are ready today. You say, oh, Lord, fill me. Maybe some of you would like to take it home and gnaw on for a little while. It's perfectly acceptable to take the message and take it home and lay it before God. God, is that for me? Is that what you want in my life? I open myself to you. So I'm asking our youth as well as our adults. You can just stay there. We'll do communion from here. You don't have to go back up to the stage. We'll do communion from here. But I'm asking all of us to seek the Lord for a greater anointing, a deeper walk, more powerful expressions of his presence and power in our lives. It requires waiting. It'll take some time. I was telling somebody yesterday, as I've said ad nausea, I turned 60 recently. And my plan for my 60s is I plan to implement everything I know. I've always known what I should be eating and what I shouldn't be eating. Always know how I should exercise and what I should stay away from. So I plan for the next 10 years, I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to be doing. It's worked pretty good for a couple weeks. Hopefully it will continue. But I'm asking you to maybe catch that spirit too. To not be so busy with everything else But put the Lord first. Early in the morning, find some time. Quiet your spirit and seek His face. And don't leave till you found it. Some mornings it's so easy to get right into His presence. And other mornings there's all this static and noise. But if you're determined, He'll find you. It requires asking. It requires a desire. The desire to see this world get saved. Dream with me just for a little bit. What if all the bars were to close due to lack of interest? Not another constitutional amendment for prohibition. Just nobody needs it, nobody wants it anymore. Wouldn't it be something if prayer meetings started breaking out in high schools? Not even teacher-led, just young people on fire for Jesus. Add to that prayer meetings where you work. Government officials kneeling down and asking God for help over the issues of the day. News reporters calling for prayer. It used to happen. It still does after really tragic days. But wouldn't it be something to have it on the nightly news? Hollywood becoming holy world. No longer taking beautiful young people and using and abusing them. No longer putting films together that just draw people into sin. But good, wholesome, God-honoring entertainment that rather than causing the world to laugh themselves into hell, they would laugh themselves right into heaven. It's all possible. Because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. But it doesn't happen at all. Until people like you and I get serious with our God. And we quit presuming everything and we just start. Start doing what we always knew was right to do. And spend that time with Him and in Him. Look for that anointing. And then when He nudges us after we've been standing by the road for an hour and a half out in the hot sun, and guy comes by and he's not in a very good mood, boy, you just watch God work. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's start. Amen. Would you stand with me?